Welcome to sermons from St. John's Lutheran Church of Oaks, North Dakota. At St. John's Lutheran Church, we are built on the rock, and that rock is Christ. We are a cross-focused congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been our privilege to share the unchanging gospel with Oaks and the surrounding area for over 100 years. This sermon, entitled Let Us Be Glad, was preached for the Resurrection of Our Lord Easter Sunrise service on March 31st, 2024, and is based on Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 9.
The Old Testament reading for the Resurrection of Our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." That portion from God's holy word for consideration this morning is our Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah in the 25th chapter, with special emphasis on verses 6 through 8, which read as follows. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. Thus far the scriptures. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, our Lord is risen, and all these things we read about in Isaiah have taken place. On that mountain, the mountain of the Lord, Mount Zion, our Lord Jesus was put to death. Sure, it wasn't right at the very top where the temple was, but it was on the side at a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. And there Jesus Christ was put to death. But he didn't stay dead, did he? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And this resurrection, dear friends, is the greatest of all historical realities. Now, it's great, of course, because of its singularity. We don't see people come back to life after 3 days on the regular, do we? It's a unique thing. But only Christ has been raised from the dead, never to die again. And because he lives, those who are in him will live as well. Dear friends in Christ, the resurrection is the proof in the pudding, as it were, that the things Jesus said and promised are true and trustworthy. And now death, that has no sting. The grave is empty, it's defeated, its doors have been shattered. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Christ is risen, the victory is won, and there is nothing more to do. The devil has been routed. The forces of hell are in full retreat. The armies of the enemy have been laid waste, defeated. And no matter how much the devil, the demons, or even death wails and gnashes their teeth at us, they are done. Their power is spent. Their dominion is at an end. And this was all done because one man, the God-man, Jesus Christ, overcame death and the grave. In the tradition of the church, the past few days are called the Triduum, which is Latin for the span of 3 days. Maundy Thursday until this morning basically composes one prolonged church service. If you noticed, there wasn't an invocation today because our invocation was on Maundy Thursday. And there's a reason for this, because in order to know the joy of resurrection, we must know the sting of betrayal and the anguish and suffering of our Lord's death. These things all fit together to give us salvation. Without the betrayal, there would be no trial. And without that trial, we would not have known that our Lord was innocent and therefore able to pay for sins that were not his own. And without the trial, there would have been no mob. No mob there to demand that he be put to death and have Barabbas released in his place, foretelling how Christ will take our place and redeem us. And without the mob, there would have been no fearful Pilate, who out of fear and terror of the mob and what they might do, handed Christ over to be crucified and tortured. And without the crucifixion, there would be no atonement, no forgiveness of sins, no payment on our behalf. And without the death of Christ, of course, there would be no resurrection. And without resurrection, there would be no Easter celebration. You see, God had long planned to do this. He never liked that we suffered under sin. He did not want us to be given over to death. And so he promised the prophet Isaiah that there would come a day when these enemies would be done away with. And the day of the Lord would be such that he would stand triumphant, there to bestow on his people rich and lavish blessings. The sting of death would be taken away, swallowed up, destroyed by death itself. And now, dear friends, the tears that come with grief and suffering and pain, God himself promises to wipe away from our own eyes, because these things do not last forever. Before the Lord came, we were dead in trespasses and sins. But now that he has died and risen again, we who were condemned no longer stand condemned. Our station is fundamentally changed. What the people of old knew by way of anticipation and promise, we now have. God, our Creator, the one beyond all knowing, he who is greater than the sum total of the universe, this God became a man in order to suffer and to die on your behalf. And this means that your sins, and indeed the sins of the whole world, have been done away with in Christ. He has atoned for them. They are no more. And now, more than this, the grave which once devoured us without mercy or recourse has been shattered. Its doors have been ripped right off the frame. It cannot hold us in Christ anymore. Our Lord even blazed a path right through that grave, right through hell itself, to proclaim his victory and ensure that we knew that our place now is in paradise with him, where we will await for the resurrection of our bodies in the world to come. And all of this, this victory, this destruction of death, this dismantling of sin, this ruin of the devil is now yours, paid for by Jesus Christ. Your fee has been paid. Your dues are up to date. And this was not with treasures of this world. No gold or silver or other trinkets that thieves might steal or moths destroy earned this for you. No, it was the holy, precious, innocent suffering and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And more than this, our Lord has hand-delivered these great treasures without value to you free of charge through his word and baptism, through confession and absolution, and the Lord's Supper. And all there is for us to do now is simply trust that this is the case. That is to say, through simple faith, we simply take hold of Christ, what he has done, and what he has said, and believe him, and know that these things have been accomplished on our behalf. The humble Lord, through shame and death, has given to you all good things and ensured salvation. So fear not, dear Christians. Christ is victorious. He stands, King of kings, Lord of lords, and no matter what foul things may array themselves against him or us, we know at the end, Jesus Christ is our King who is victorious. Dear friends in Christ, the death of the Lord is your life. And his resurrection stands as proof that death has been overcome and that his deeds and promises are true and valid. And more than this, it was all done for you, on your behalf to save you and grant you eternal life. Now, this world is full of pagans and unbelievers, and they'll never understand the significance of this day. And regularly they try to take it from us and do other things for us. They lie and claim that it was a pagan holiday. It's not. They lie and say that the name comes from a pagan goddess. It didn't. It's from the word East. Easter? East? Yeah, that's literally where it comes from. It's not from Ishtar. That's nonsense. It was made up in the 19th century by people who hate Christ. And it doesn't matter what our president declares this day to be. This day is Christ's, as indeed all days are Christ's. And he is risen. History belongs to him. It pivots on him. So let the pagans celebrate their paganism. We don't care, because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the holy name of Jesus. Amen.
If you like what you heard, check out our website, stjohnsoaks.org. That's OAKES. Or visit us for services at 9 a.m. each week. Feel free to email us at stjohnsoaks@gmail.com. God bless you, and we look forward to having you enjoy our messages again next week.